Last month, I was flipping channels on my TV, and I came across a show on PBS that was entitled Things That Aren't Here Anymore. And it was billed as a nostalgic special, as a trip down memory lane to revisit some of the colorful and memorable locales that graced Los Angeles in decades past. And for someone like me, who grew up in LA, it turned out to be fascinating. I had once visited the Brown Derby restaurant and Helm's Bakery and the Coconut Grove. And I even remember when my parents took me to the Angels Flight trolley downtown. That was a funicular railway with two cars that took passengers up to the top of Hill Street for a nickel. It closed in 1969. And 4 years ago, it reopened using the same but refurbished red trolley cars. The day I watched that show was exactly the day that I was asked to prepare drosh for today's Sisterhood Shabbat service. I accepted the honor before I took a look at what the parsha was all about. But as I watched the show, I heard the narrator tell the names of those trolley cars that once were, and I thought of this Torah portion. This is one of those parsha oath that describes building the tabernacle and making an accounting of the funds, and then it gives detailed descriptions of the priestly garments and such, and I decided to name this drosh Things That Aren't Here Anymore. But I needed to gather more than just Jewish nostalgia for the way that things used to be when we were wandering around the desert on our way to the land of Israel. See, I like the Torah portions that give you good rules to live by, that can be adapted for our time, and that you can make great sermons about, like when it says the commandment in Leviticus, don't put a stumbling block before the blind, things like that. And I thought to myself, can I come up with three or four good precepts that we can all agree with from a Torah portion that's concerned mainly with priestly garments? So I said, I've got to try. Parsha Pikudei is all about record keeping and planning. And in order to build this fabulous sanctuary in the desert, the Israelites needed gold, silver, copper, bronze to make these beautiful artifacts. And each man, specifically 603,550 men, over the age of 20, gave half a shekel each for the project. And so from this, I've extracted my rule number one. One, if you want something nice for your community, something that you can be proud of, for generations to come, then everyone needs to donate. And next we come to the making of the priestly vestments. They used lazuli stones with frames of gold engraved with the names of the 12 tribes. They used gold, blue, purple, and crimson yarns and fine twisted linen. On the hem of the robe were pomegranates and bells. The sashes, the embroidery, the diadem of pure gold, all of these fabulous things were made by the finest artisans and the most talented minds of our people. So clearly, beautiful artifacts were highly valued. And from this, we get a rule number two. Two, treasure your creativity and that of your children. If your son says he wants to be a fashion designer and not a doctor, or your daughter chooses to study fine art instead of accounting, remember that Bezalel and Oholiab, the carver, were considered the rock stars of their time. And when the work on the tabernacle was done, it says, and when Moses saw that they had performed all the tasks, he blessed them. He made a point to admire their work and thank them for it. Those workers built that tent of meeting and all of its furnishings. Not one thing was left out of this biblical account of the work done. We read about the planks, the bars, the posts, sockets, coverings, the curtain, table, the lamps, the fittings, altar, oil, and screen for the entrance, and much, much more. It was a group effort, and it was done with love and joy because God commanded it. But it was blessed by Moses, the leader of the people. It was not taken for granted. It was blessed, and it was admired publicly. And therefore, we come to rule number three. Three, if people work for you, value them. Notice that they endeavor to please you. Praise them for what they do. We can learn from Moses how to treat our employees and the people that we ask to do work for us. And now we come to the last rule that I gleaned from this Torah portion. Da lifnei mi ata omed. Know before whom you stand. After Moses and the people built and set up the most amazing structure that the desert had ever seen, they were not planning to rest on their accomplishments as if their providing the world with fine objects and fancy rituals were the most important thing. That type of stuff could be done anywhere, especially in Egypt, the place that they had just escaped from. Nope, for them, it mattered who dwelt there, in that place that they made glorious. This Torah portion tells us of the amazing spectacle of God's presence in the place that they constructed. God appears in the form of a cloud by day and fire by night, and all of this in full view of the no doubt astonished Israelites. So it's easy to feel rather nostalgic for the Holy Tabernacle as one of those things that are not here anymore, but we can also learn from what was and is no longer. Today, we can freely visit the place where it all happened by hopping on a plane to Tel Aviv. Or maybe next weekend, we can take a trip downtown to those refurbished red trolley cars of Angel's Flight. 50 cents will get you a ride. Perhaps you will sit in the car named Olivet, which is named after the Mount of Olives. Or the other one that I remember well, the other one named Sinai. Shabbat Shalom.